Thank you, Steve. Can I confess something to you, Wendy? I don't want it to go any further. It's just between you and me. I just need to make a confession.
What?
I'm starting to think there's something weird about this Jussie Smollett case.
I know a lot of people had doubts from the beginning. I felt it very strongly, and I didn't want to say anything because I hate to shame a victim. I hate to not trust someone.
There's no part of you that wants to think or wanted to think that a guy could make something like this up. You just put common decency first, and you'd say, well, who in their right mind would stage something like this? It wouldn't make sense to do something like that. And yet, that seems to be what happened.
Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson was fantastic during the press conference.
Did a nice
today.
Job, didn't he?
And all the word that keeps coming up is shameful. This is shameful.
Here's the worst part of it. Because attacks like this really do take place, when somebody now does fall victim to something like this, there will always be a little bit of doubt, like in this case, where you go, oh, I feel horrible for them, but did this really happen? And that shouldn't be the way it is.
That's what Eddie Johnson was saying. It takes away from this. These hate crimes happen all the time,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it takes away from the legitimate ones. It's just a sad situation. I, you know, wonder about him and his health. Is he under suicide watch? Because his whole world just exploded.
Yeah. Everything, right. Going forward.
Everything he wanted went the opposite way.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think that whenever you're about to make a life-changing decision, and this was paying two guys to attack you would be that, you should always run it by somebody. Like, anytime you have an idea of something that is major life-changing, find somebody you love or trust with some common sense and go, here's a scenario. What do you think? What would happen if this happened? Do you think this is a good idea?
That's why we all need a pause button like a DVR.
Yes.
Yeah.
Steve, yes.
The thing, too, though, to remember is this wasn't sort of a rash decision. You know, it started with the letter. He sent the letter the week before, according to police.
And that did not get the attention he had hoped, Steve? Is that what I'm understanding?
That's what Superintendent Johnson said, right.
Yeah.
And so then he went forward with this fake attack.
It's shameful that he sent a letter to himself. It is. But then to take it one step, I didn't get the reaction I wanted.
Right.
Let me do more. Let me go bigger.
Right.
I know he's an actor. I'm embarrassed for him going on Good Morning America and trying to... It was such a ruse. I mean...
Yeah, I know.
I'm mad and I feel sad. I feel sorry for him that someone would stoop to these levels.
Well, Trevor, no, I told you this yesterday. I said it as a joke on The Daily Show, but he should get an Emmy Award for that acting performance on Good Morning America. And people have said, well, the guy's an actor, so his job is to convince people of things that aren't quite real. I understand that, but this is an important thing.
But he was very defensive on the Good Morning America.
Very defensive.
And that's what made me really start thinking, he's lying. When someone lies, they, you know, there's some kind of, when you're telling the truth, trying to defend yourself, there's some kind of compassion and, or like desperation almost. Like,
right.
Please, you have got to believe me.
Right.
This was like, oh no, it was just the strange reaction.
But when he took that stance, I also understood that, like, all right, so now we're playing in a field where what he did was real. But now we know it wasn't. But I would understand where a guy like that would go, I just got attacked by two guys and no one wants to believe that? I understand
that. But you said
it
differently than he did. Your tone was way different.
Yeah.
He was like, how dare they not believe me?
Right. Well, yeah.
It's really unfortunate, and it was really a blemish here in Chicago.
It made, yeah, without a doubt, it made our city look bad. And, you know, the R. Kelly thing is going on right now. That's also in our city. So I can understand if you live somewhere else and you hear about Chicago in the news, you hear about all the violence, you hear about these stories.
Jason Van Dyke, too. Add that to the mix.
Right. But the crazy part of this is he's a pretty good actor. He's a pretty good singer. He's, you know, he had the world going for him. He really did. A young, good-looking guy. Everything was pointing in his direction, and he threw it away.
Greed. He wanted more money.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'd like more money. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But money does not buy happiness.
Would you even know who? Let's say you thought of this. Let's say you thought, for reasons of greed or any other, I'm going to get two guys to rough me up just enough to where
I would have gone way over the deep end with the roughing up, though.
What, yeah?
Because that, I mean, he just had a tiny little scratch.
Well, would you even know who to approach and how to approach them with something that outrageous?
Bertrand.
You go with Steve Bertrand.
No, I would never do that, Wendy.
But here's my question, too. But I'd ask you, because you're a tall drink of water, and perhaps people would believe that. But why aren't these two brothers getting charged with anything? They agreed to do a dishonest thing. They took money for something that they knew was wrong. Is it because of their testimony? Because I'm really curious about that.
But yeah, you would think they were accomplices in this, so some harm should come their way.
Well, what did they do that was illegal?
They took money and participate in the ruse? I don't know.
I mean, if they smacked him around, they took money to smack him around, but they didn't report it to police, and then it sounds like they were pretty direct.
Isn't
with
that
police pretty
quickly. Aiding and abetting a crime? Just what you described?
A false crime.
Maybe if they knew all along that he was going to then report it, I guess.
And the taking money part, I feel, is something different. Like if he just said, guys, I need you to do something. Could you go walk by the street? Could you just biff me in the head a little bit?
Right.
If they didn't take money, then I just think the exchange of money for doing something, they knew what they were doing. They knew what they were doing was not right.
Sure.
Why aren't they being charged?
So they should. And what you said, it could also be true. Maybe as part of them, you know, admitting that this happened, maybe that was their deal. That they'd say, look, you tell us what happened, you walk away.
I feel sorry. I really feel...
It's horrible.
I feel sad that he took these desperate measures to do it. I feel sad that all this time was wasted on it and that our city was tarnished yet again.
Right. And go on, Steve.
People keep saying that. I don't accept that the city was tarnished. I mean, I don't think...
Oh, my God. This was such a national story. And Eddie Johnson said this morning, I hope that these headlines make it clear across the nation like the hoax did. I'm paraphrasing. But he wants this correction to be...
Right.
You know, talked about as much as this hoax was.
Right. I understand that, and I understand what the superintendent said. But, I mean, if this had happened in New York, would you say this was a black eye for you? New York? I mean, there are racist and idiots everywhere. I don't think it necessarily reflects a city. That's, I guess, the point.
Yeah.
I mean, if it happened in Des Moines, I wouldn't say, well, that's Des Moines. Now you got it. You know what I mean? I just don't make that association.
Yeah, but if that's the only thing Des Moines had, we've got so much bad going on right now, such a bad reputation. It's just one more.
Is this why Manny Machado didn't sign with the White Sox?
Maybe.
You can tell me. Which show do you think, you know how like all the Dick Wolf shows like to take stories right out of the headlines and turn them into an episode? Is this going to be on Chicago PD? Is this going to be on SVU? Where will this story show up and how soon? Who today is finishing a script that they're submitting, and it'll be on TV in a month or a month and a half?
Well, I'd love to see him do it on Empire.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. You couldn't have it be his character, though, right? It'd have to be somebody else on the show, because it'd be too close to home if it was his character involved in that.
I just want to know what he's feeling, because, I mean, I don't lie anymore. I lied a lot when I was a teenager to my poor mom, and I always felt guilty about it.
Yeah.
Isn't he overridden with guilt? Is he upset that it didn't work?
There's got to be an element of, what was I thinking, right? That would be the first one. And if this were me, as I'm sitting there today, I'd be going, how did I think that was going to work, right?
And with all these security cameras, I mean, listening to the press conference, it was cameras and cabs that the brothers drove.
Right.
It was public cameras. It was people that owned property that gave their videotapes. It's like, I started thinking, boy, I shouldn't pick my nose in public. There's a camera everywhere.
But you're still going to.
Doing it right now.
Right as we speak. Yep. Yep.
But you know what I mean? In this day and age of surveillance, there's no way you're going to get away.
I go.
Yeah.
There's never a time wherever I go now that I don't think, well, this is being caught on camera somewhere, right? It's got to be.
It's just a sad situation.
So don't you think that thought number one for him today is,
crap.
Did I really think that was going to work?
No, I think he really did think it was
going to work.
Part number
two is, what could I have done differently to have made that work? What should I have done or not done that would have pulled that off better? Because I didn't pull it off very well.
The going on Good Morning America is the worst thing he could have done.
But no, because he had to do it. Because if he didn't do it, then people will go, well, something must be up. He won't come on a show and talk about it. He must have done something wrong.
But to lie on TV like that, it's like, I just don't understand how someone could do that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. If you'd like to jump in on this, we would love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. I want to hear about your event last night, but just really, really quickly, as we finish up talking about Jesse Smollett, if you're not aware, a press conference was held a little after 9 o'clock. Telling the details of what happened. All indications are that Jesse paid these two guys to rough him up, and that's where things stand. We talked about jail time. What do you think will happen there? Will he spend some time in jail for this or not?
We were talking about this off the air. I don't think he will.
No.
But you think differently?
I think he'll spend a little bit of time in jail as a way of saying you can't, to anyone thinking about doing something like this, don't do something like this, because there's consequences.
It was a very forceful performance by the police superintendent today, if that's any indication of where they're going to go with this.
What do you think that means?
3 years.
Steve?
He could get 3 years.
I suspect he will not serve time in jail for this.
Not at all? Zero?
I don't think so either.
It's a first offense. I don't know. But Superintendent Johnson clearly was very
PO'd.
Strong in his words, yes.
But isn't it one of those things, like I said, that if you don't put him in jail for a little bit of time, I'm not saying a long time, but maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, just to say, don't do this.
Yeah, I'm always leery of using someone to set an example for someone else. You know, I mean, if typically someone who commits this crime doesn't get sent to prison, I don't know that because you're an actor you should, to deter others, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I think that's a little unfair, even to the criminals.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they'll do.
And, I mean, a week, 10 days, a month, is that enough?
No, it's not enough, but then, it's one of those things that you do just to say, you did something wrong, you got to pay for it a little bit, you know, just a way of saying, this is a deterrent for anyone thinking about this in the future.
Yeah, but then people would go, oh, if I do it, I'm only going to get a month in jail. I could even probably survive a month in jail. Well, probably not.
Mm-mm.
No, I think you could. So, Huffington Post is reporting that Jesse made $65,000 an episode.
Okay, maybe that's not... I don't know anything about payment in TV. It seems low, but what do I know? Bill, you would know more than I do.
Well, the scale is, you know, you have shows where people are making... Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men was making millions per episode. The people on Friends were making over $1 million an episode. So that's the hierarchy of what you can earn doing TV episodes. $65,000, that's a pretty good week, right? So you figure he's he was probably in 10 to 12 episodes a year. That's a bunch of money, you know?
That's pretty good. And he was going to be featured more and more.
Right. Not anymore,
no.
Probably.
And
right?
His music video was going to be featured.
Yeah. And how do you do, like part of his thing is he goes and he does club dates. He does song, you know, he's a performer, so he does songs. And would there be interest in seeing him at this point?
I think his career is over.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't think so,
Steve? It's hard to say.
Oh, my God. You hire him for something later on. Somebody's like, isn't that the guy?
Yeah, he will be.
Forever.
He will not be that guy who lied.
That's what almost breaks my heart. Like, had he just thought ahead, the truth is going to come out. He has just really ruined everything he's worked for.
That's why, like I said at the beginning, when you think of something like this, find someone you trust. And say, here's a thought. What if somebody did something like this? What do you think would happen?
But you said when you think of this, I would never think of something like this.
No, I know.
You know what? I've changed my mind. Instead of the pause button on the DVR,
what should it be?
Erase.
The button that jumps forward 10 seconds.
Oh, the fast forward.
You watch that. And
that's what happens.
Ah, the results are not pleasant.
Right. He'll do an interview. Well, I don't know. You know, I was going to say he'll do an interview somewhere now. Where he, you know, falls to the mercy of the court, probably.
Who did the Good Morning America interview? Was that Robin Roberts?
Robin Roberts, right. So then I don't know if he will do another interview. Well, I'm sure someone would interview him.
So if you're her today, do you say, I need a second shot at that guy. I need to sit down with that guy again. Or do you just go, wow, he fooled me?
Well, being in the broadcasting world, I would love the follow-up. I'm sure she would, too. She's a journalist.
Yeah.
And just to say, you duped us all,
right.
You know? What?
Right.
I just, you know, seriously, he should be on suicide watch, because really, what does this guy have to live for now? His career is over. Oh my God, when you become a meme, there are so many memes going around. You're on social media, you're a performer, you have a big presence there, you look at that. How do you face anyone again?
It would be very tough. I hope it's not as severe as suicide. I would hope it would not be that severe, but I'm sure there's all kinds of regret from him at this point.
Well, then say it from your heart, and maybe people can forgive.
Right.
On a lighter note, I had a really fun time cooking last night. We went to a Marcel's Culinary Experience. It's in downtown Glen Ellyn. Several women came. I mentioned that you don't like my cooking because you think there's dog hair in it, so you couldn't come with.
Right.
I did bring my dog, Kona. No,
I did?
Didn't.
No, good.
No, but we... We made grainberry cereal, healthy cereal for your family was behind this,
mm-hmm.
and Chef Paul incorporated different grainberry cereals into things. I'm telling you, there was a turkey meatball slider.
Mm-hmm.
So it was turkey, it was grainberry shredded wheat that he soaked in milk that was put in the turkey meatball, served on a little slider bun with shredded mozzarella and tomato sauce that was put in the broiler.
Yeah.
It was so
good.
So moist.
You also cooked, or you hosted or cooked, or both?
It was a cooking demonstration / class.
Oh.
Since there were so many people that showed up, and thanks to all the people that entered that couldn't get in, hopefully we'll do this again and fill more slots. They host cooking classes where you can go get your own cutting board and do your own stuff. Last night there were so many people that Marcel's has like a cocktail party type atmosphere in some of their classes, so we all did a little bit. You would have loved the salad. The salad was ruby red grapefruit, orange, which I said I don't like the smell of, but I was right in there cutting the oranges.
You know, I was trying to think, well, how do you say grapefruit in French?
Pamplemousse.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, Steve.
Guys, are just take it to the Catskills, will you? But thanks to Marcel's, I bought a cutting board and a really cool little sponge holder that looks like a rock with a little slit in the middle, and you put your sponge in there so it dries. I love it.
That's excellent.
They have cute little things. They have little coasters with misheard lyrics.
Yeah.
It was just
really, everyone was happy.
It
good
was
success.
Really fun. Thanks to everybody who showed up, and thanks to Grainberry because it's good for you and it tastes good too.
Excellent. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news, and then there's a lot more show ahead.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ear.
Wendy, I remember at your wedding when they played this and you walked down the aisle and I said, who else but Wendy could have this as her aisle song?
You joke, but when I got out of the limo, you could attest to this. I had a smoke in my mouth, a bottle of Korbel champagne in one hand, and a bottle of beer in the other.
Yep.
That's the way for a bride to walk out of a limo, is it not?
Very memorable.
We are going to talk about beer. We are going to need to drink a beer because I have some breaking news that I have to share. I can't wait.
What is it? It's bad news, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's a death in the news. A lot of women had a crush on this guy. A lot of men liked this guy. One of the monkeys, Peter Tork, died at the age of 77.
We just talked to Peter Tork a few months ago.
It was longer than that.
Yeah? I think it was just before Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah.
77. He died after being diagnosed with a rare tongue cancer 10 years ago. Unless this is a hoax, but I don't think so because the Peter Tork Twitter page is like we are... deeply sorry. It is with beyond heavy and broken hearts that we share the news.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's in the Washington Post as well.
That's very sad. He was a nice man.
He was, and so cute.
You know what I remember from that interview with you guys?
Huh?
Is he thanked you for giving him the publicity for the show.
That doesn't always happen.
I don't remember any of this.
You don't remember that? It was just a few months ago.
God, what has happened to me?
It was kind of, he said it, I don't remember exactly his words, but it was almost like, hey, I needed this more than you guys did.
It was very genuine, I remember, Steve. You're right. Yeah. Oh,
I loved him. All right, this is a reason we need to drink. Oh. So we turn to beer right now. And we have a couple of people in here to talk about the 5th Annual Lake County Craft Beer Festival that's happening this Saturday at the Lake County Fairgrounds and Event Center in Grays Lake. We have the event manager, Lauren Kaplan, in the studio. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, good morning.
We have other people with you from a couple of cool breweries, Kings and Convicts Brewery co-founder Brendan Waters. Hi, Brendan.
How you doing?
And Skeptic Distillery, Brittany Bro.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, bro. I know. I said that off the air. Was that what you were waiting for? Don't do it.
Come on.
You got to throw the sup, bro, in there.
What's up, bro? Thank you for coming up, first and foremost. I'm sorry we started on sad news, but I wanted to get that out there. So we turned to beer to drown our sorrows. I think this will be the right place to go.
Yes.
All right. It's happening Saturday. What do we need to know about it, Lauren?
It starts at 5. You can buy tickets online at lcfair.com. And today, for your listeners, yes, we actually have a special code to get $10 off. So if you use WGN Radio, it'll be
$50. That's outstanding. Thank you for
doing
that.
You'll get a souvenir tasting glass. You're getting a sample beer. Brendan, Kings and Convicts Brewery, what's different about your beer?
Well, we're a little odd. We started as an Englishman, the King, and an Australian, the Convict, that just happened to find ourselves in Chicago. So all of our beers have a story behind them. So we brew beer that Americans like, but with a story, and you learn a little bit of history, you have a laugh, and everything is tongue-in-cheek.
I like that.
Good philosophy.
Yeah, exactly. It's beer.
Can you taste a beer and say to yourself, just by the taste of the beer, this is Australian, I know that. Is there something about it that tips you off?
Well, you'd have to speak Australian when you're doing it.
Do you?
Australians drink lager, a lot of lager, whereas Americans now came up with that Pilsner lager, but they've also got a lot of good IPAs now. So I think, realistically, the United States is one of the best beer countries in the world now. Used to be crap, but now it is outstanding.
All right, and Skeptic Distillery, Brittany Bro with us. What do you say about that? Beer around here used to be crap, but now it's great.
He's setting the bar higher. I've had him talk a couple times, I gotta say. And he's pretty good entertainment, too. He's good.
What does Skeptic give us? And you gotta speak right into that microphone.
So, basically, our whole basis is the intersection of craft and science. So, in the craft community, we're standing out because we're doing vacuum distillation for our products.
And what does that do? Well, how does that differ from what's going on?
What that does is we suck all of the air out of the still, and it lowers the pressure in there so that we can boil at about 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
So, that's hotter than usual? Lower?
So it'll lower the boiling point.
See, I don't get the science part. I just get the beer part.
Yeah, the taste part.
But yeah, basically all that does is it gives you a fresher, smoother flavor, and it maintains more of the botanicals that go into the product that aren't burned away.
Explain this to me, because there are some beers that really boast the fact that they are cold brewed or cold filtered. So what's the advantage in having it done that way as opposed to the way you just described?
So it's a very similar process to doing a cold brewed beer or a cold brewed coffee.
Yeah.
It just maintains more of the flavor without having that burnt away aspect.
Alcohol
is a little less overpowering, the same way the acidity in coffee is less overpowering.
So which beers would lend themselves to the one as opposed to the other? Is there a certain beer that would taste better cold or hot during the preparation?
We're actually making gin and vodka predominantly, so as far as the beers go, I'm not entirely sure, but you might actually be a good consultant on this front.
Yeah, so if you look at in the brew process, the pilsners and the lagers, they are fermented at a lower temperature, whereas your ales and the stouts are at a higher temperature during fermentation. And so in terms of drinking,
yes,
you want to drink the beer around about 38 degrees. When you get up to the ales and the stouts, you want them a bit warmer. So there's this fallacy.
So the flavor comes out?
Yeah, absolutely. This fallacy that's been thrust upon the drinking public by the big boys is that you want it ice cold. No, you don't. Well, you do for their beer, so you don't taste it. But this one, you want to taste the beer. And so you want to have it a little warmer so you get the flavor, you get the aroma, as opposed to getting chilled beer. beer that you're just throwing down your throat.
Brendan, in England years ago, several of the beers that we ordered were served at room temperature.
That's correct.
That was a hard adjustment for me. I was not used to that.
Yeah, same for me too. And that's a lot of the time that was because they couldn't serve it too cold. But also that's the way that the English were.
Yeah.
See, in Australia, we drink our beer cold just like the US. But there's a level of understanding that we now need to come to that craft beer in particular is meant to be enjoyed. You know, so when you do it the right way. Pour it into a glass, let it open up, 38 degrees for your pilsners and your lagers, let it sit around for a little bit longer with your ales, and sit back, tell a story, and relax.
Mm.
Here's the difference. When you drink, I drink red wine if I'm drinking it, and that you just pour out of a bottle. It's not cold or anything. Some people like their white wine chilled, but originally, when beer came around, you just wanted it cold. But now with this craft beer thing, that's when you're smelling the bouquet and you're treating it like wine was treated. Is that correct?
For the most part, I drink my beer faster than I drink wine. but that's true. It's meant to be. Yeah, some of these beers have a little bit higher ABV, like higher alcohol content, so you don't need to be slamming them down. But you want to enjoy it.
I have to give some advice. If you're at a place that serves beer, check in. A lot of times if they put the alcohol content on the menu, your head goes, what do I care? But normally, if you're drinking like a light beer or something, you can have a few of them. But with these, just slow down. That's all I got to say, because it hits you and you don't think it matters. It matters what the alcohol content is.
100%. The one here I'll leave for you is one you can have for breakfast. It's a nice easy drinking pilsner.
Good with an omelet.
But our IPA, right? Good with omelets.
Yeah.
Yeah. but our IPA, have it for dinner.
Okay. What's a typical beer alcohol content?
It really ranges all over the place, but what you'll probably find with a lot of the craft beer, the pilsners, are around about that 4.5 up to 5.5. But you can get your IPAs going anywhere from the 5/8 up to 7.5-8%. And then if you want the imperial IPAs, watch out. You know, you can get up to 10.5% or more.
But some of the fruitier beers are in at 2.5 and 3.
That's right? Correct.
You like the fruity beers, don't you?
I do. They're the grapefruit beers.
And that's all about the hops. You add it late. So you're not boiling off any of the hops. So you add it after fermentation.
Right.
And you get all this juiciness and fruitiness.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love those.
No. You're fine. You should drink those.
So good.
It's the 5th annual Lake County Craft Beer Festival, and Brittany, you said you're dealing with the vodka and gin. Where do you fit into the craft beer festival?
They do have a couple of distilleries that they're having on this year. I think there's 7, right?
Yeah, there's 7 this year.
So there will be 7 of us, just for people who want to either mix up their beer selection a little bit, or, you know, if you didn't get enough before 8 o'clock and you want to heighten the process, we'll be there for you. Oh.
I like to start out with a vodka and tonic and then switch to beer.
Yeah.
Is that a bad way to do it?
No, I love that.
What's the saying, liquor before beer, all's clear, but beer before liquor, you've never been sicker? Mm-hmm. Is there any truth to any of that?
Yes, agreed.
Everyone?
No, I didn't know that.
No. We're talking about the Lake County Craft Beer Festival. It takes place on Saturday. A discount for you. Explain the discount again. How do people get the discount?
So at the door and online sales. Our online sales actually closed yesterday, and we opened up just for your viewers or for your listeners. Oh. And they can go on to lcfair.com, and they use the code WGNRadio, all caps, and they get $10 off. So rather than being $60, which it will be at the door, they get it for $50.
Outstanding. Very nice.
That's good through tonight, 11:59 p.m.
Who else has to pay only $10 to get in? A designated driver.
Designated drivers, yes.
That's genius.
Of everything. All right, more after this. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN. Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder with you. Lauren Kaplan, Brendan Waters, and Brittany Brower here from the Lake County Craft Beer Festival. It all takes place this Saturday. I have 1,000 questions for you, but first, who invented this beer ice cream? Because this is outstanding.
This is actually from Susie Swirls. Oh. She is out of Lake Bluff.
So incredibly good.
She's going to be there, and she will have this there. So we currently have an Irish stout here for you, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
There's a pink champagne sorbet, which I also love.
I like that
and
too.
I think that would actually go really well in orange juice.
Oh, yes. Like a punch.
Yeah, and they and then they also have Blue Moon. And she said, I don't know if they'll be doing it at our craft fest, but past they've made like a Blue Moon float. So they put the Blue Moon ice cream in the Blue Moon beer.
Yeah.
and they said that was delicious.
There's a food chain a couple of years ago, I can say the name, it's Red Robin, and they started making beer milkshakes, and I thought, it's beer and it's a milkshake, this is going to work, and it wasn't good. I don't know what they did wrong, but it was not good. This ice cream is outstanding.
It's
this
delicious.
Is so good. Yeah, you can
it's
really taste it.
It's not overpowering,
no.
But there's a
hint.
Yeah,
yes.
Hint of flavor.
Yeah, and in the Blue Moon, there's like right at the bottom, you get like the orange zest,
yep.
And everything. It's so good.
It's
I
working.
Don't know which is which.
I think that is the stout that you have.
The stout is very good.
A little darker.
Explain this to me. You brought up some of the beers that will be featured at this beer festival, and you said to us some of these are highly sought after, and I understand that. They go very, very quickly. The allotment is gone very quickly. So my question is, when a company knows this, that they have a hot commodity, why wouldn't they just produce more of it and solve the problem? Is there a reason, you guys?
Well, it's the scarcity effect. And also, if you look at the one that you've got there, the Revolution, that's their deep wood series,
mm-hmm.
which happens to be an outstanding beer. It's hard to make, it takes longer, but it's also more specifically consumed around the winter or late fall. And so what happens is it goes away for a while, and then when it comes back, everyone's lining up for
high
it.
Demand.
Yeah. High demand.
Are they the ones, there's some beer company that does a beer that they release one day a year and that's it, and people line up like crazy to
that's
get
Three
it.
Floyds.
Three Floyds.
Three Floyds.
That's the one.
That's
right,
the
right.
Dark Lord.
Yeah.
Dark Lord.
One day a year.
Yeah.
You know your beer, don't you?
Well, I grew up with it.
I was saying it off the air
the
and I saw
bottle.
You looking at me. I was talking to Brittany about Skeptic Distillery. You have vodka and you have gin. Gin is the first liquor I stole out of my mom's liquor cabinet, and it when you went to the bathroom, it smelled like pine needles. That's what it is. It's a juniper berry is what makes gin, correct?
Yeah.
And so you will have that pine flavor.
In most gins, it's predominantly the pine flavor.
And that's why I turned from gin to vodka when I got older,
yeah.
But the new breed of gin is better, isn't it?
So much like the craft beer community is evolving, and, you know, as he said, the craft scene in Chicago was originally crap, but it's evolving.
From crap beer to craft beer.
Exactly. The gin is evolving as well, so it's starting to take more of a craft turn, and that's what we're trying to bring to it. So we actually infuse our gin with, mango, hibiscus, some really tropical and citrus flavors that bring out more to it than just that pine needle flavor.
But it's not a flavored gin,
no.
Per se, or a flavored vodka.
That's just our basic gin infusion recipe.
I don't remember when I was younger, if you'd go to a liquor store, it was gin-flavored gin. That was as deep as they went,
exactly.
And now there's dozens of flavors. How did that happen?
I think as far as any liquor industry goes, there's going to be more flavors that come about with time, just people trying to do something different to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
We went right to the original gin recipe, and we're just trying to improve on that. We've won a few awards for it, just trying to make a really good mixer or something you can drink straight without it being necessarily flavored.
Oh.
And you can flavor it on your own. Like, I'm a big fan of the lemon drop martini.
Mm-hmm.
You can use regular flavored vodka,
right.
And add the lemon juice and the sugared rim and add different things. You don't need a lemon-flavored vodka, do you?
No, and then you can have just a basic bottle that you can flavor with anything rather than having a specific flavor you can only make a few cocktails with.
Right.
If you have a really good base spirit, you have a lot more creative freedom.
For something to be considered a craft beer, they can only run off a certain amount of it before it doesn't qualify as craft anymore. Is that the same case with gin?
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Largely.
Yeah.
We're pretty small batch still.
Are you?
We do all the hand labeling, hand numbering.
Yeah.
So.
Is it the goal of craft beer makers or gin or any alcoholic beverage to go to the next level, to make so much of it, make it so popular that they have to go to the next level or not?
I think anyone that says that's not their goal is probably kidding themselves. When you get going with this, the idea is make stuff that people like and enjoy doing it. And if you get to that point, I mean, look at Revolution and Half Acre, two of the great Chicago breweries.
Right.
They're still very independent, and they're going to stay that way. But then if some bugger comes and drops $1 billion on their pocket, what do you do? Sometimes you've got to just say, well, I'll go and do Revolution times two.
Right.
So I would say the vast majority do it because we love it.
Yeah.
And we like brewing beer, we like distilling, and we do it because the people that come in love love that. And the moment that you get to that point that you, let's say the sellout, that's to say that that will never happen is a very hard thing to just say.
Sure.
You know,
never say never.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
These buggers with their money went.
Now, did I read somewhere that Chicago is one of the biggest craft beer producers?
It has now got more craft breweries than any other place.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yep, it has.
And if, you know, I'm a lightweight with beer. I like an occasional Weiss beer, but I like a Pilsner. I like it crisp and fresh. So an IPA would not be for me.
No, you'd want to go for the Hoogie. That's the Pilsner.
But
the
Hoogie. But I will tell you that I'm not a beer person at all. And both the IPA and the Pilsner that Brendan has from Kings and Convicts, amazing. It I would works. Drink them both.
And yeah. You need to try it because, you know, in my head, I'm like, I only like Pilsners. But that's not maybe true.
That's very true. We have a lot of people that come in that have been, let's say, Miller or Bud drinkers, and they go, you know what, give me your lightest one.
Right.
So we'll always start them off with a Hoogie, but then they go, all right, give us another one. So we'll whack a King's Bitch or a Crouch Back in front of them. They go, well, that's not what it, well, that's all right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to craft.
And that's the way to do it, to start light and kind of move your way up the ladder.
That's right.
All right. So there will be definitely Kings and Convicts. Brendan Waters is going to be out there. Skeptic Distillery will be featured. Brittany Bro. There's also Wine and Cider that's going to be there, Lauren, as
yes,
well.
Yes, correct.
Mainly craft beer, but
mainly
there are
beer,
other things.
Yeah, we have about 7 distilleries and then like I'd say maybe 5 wineries or ciders out there as well.
Do me a favor, explain the discount one more time for people. The fest is this Saturday, and if you want $10 off, what do people have to do?
Yep, if you want $10 off, go to lcfair.com to purchase your tickets, and right now they are $60, and with the code WGNRadio in all caps, you will get $10 off.
Very nice.
And what does this include? Because there are many beer sample tickets that come with this price, correct?
So it will include 25 beer samples. It's a 3-ounce sample. And then you also get live entertainment by a band called Tricky Mission.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a mobile escape room, a mobile axe throwing, and then
that's
some
not
other
good with beer, guys.
that's from 5 to 8,
okay.
And it's a lot of fun. We've done it, we've tried it, we've got some people out there. They actually have a glow in the dark feature, which I really wanted to do, but they stopped me that
cool.
far.
It's all going on this Saturday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's the 5th annual Lake County Craft Beer Festival. If you're a lightweight beer drinker like me, this might be a place to go to try some other choices that are out there. LCFair.com is the place to
yes.
send people. Lauren Kaplan, Lake County Fairgrounds and Event Center event manager. Again, Brendan Waters from Kings and Convicts and Brittany Bro. What's up, bro? From Skeptic Distillery. Thank you. Good luck. Drink
thanks.
On. Drink
thanks.
Them if
thanks
you
for
got
having
them.
Us.
Thanks, guys. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy. On WGN.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Thank you so much, Steve.
Can I just say?
Yes, Steve.
I did not know you were talking to the Kings and Convicts guys in there.
You have had him on Wintrust Business Lunch, right?
No. He sells me beers on Wednesday nights, generally during the summer in Highwood.
So what? Does he have a beer cart?
They have an outdoor market there where you walk around and eat different foods and things, and that's where I first was introduced to Kings and Convicts, and yeah, I talk to him most Wednesdays.
That's
he's
excellent.
A great guy, great storyteller, yeah.
Very cool.
It makes me want to drink his beer just by listening to
him. Yeah, it's a good. They've got several good beers. They serve at a lot of restaurants around where I live. That's all I got.
Well, that's all I got. I'm looking for something, Bill. You talk to Steve for a second because we are doing a changing of the guards.
Talking to friends, and I couldn't be more excited.
Oh my God! It's on reruns all the time, and I watch that show pretty much every day. It's still so unbelievably funny.
Friends is.
Yes.
Absolutely. If only somebody could turn it into a musical, Wendy. I know I'm asking a lot, but if somebody had the wherewithal to turn Friends into a musical, then you got a hit.
Bill, thank your lucky stars.
What?
We have a couple of people with us.
What?
I saw the commercial on TV for this, Friends, the musical parody, and we have a woman who is playing the part of Monica, Maggie McMeans. Hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Hi, Maggie.
How are you?
Nice to see you.
And Aaron C. Rutherford is here, and you are playing Chandler.
Yes, indeedy. Yes,
congrats.
Yes, yes.
Congrats.
Thank you.
How did this show start? Whose idea was it? Because it's a brilliant idea.
It was Tobley McSmith.
I was going to say, Tobley seems McSmith. Like the word.
And Tobley McSmith. It was actually, it ran off Broadway in New York for a little while.
Over a year, I
so
think.
So we're not the first. Oh, yeah, no. We are the second.
All right, so here's the question that I would ask in a situation like this that may get us into trouble. Okay. Are the people who put Friends together aware of this? Are they okay with this? Is there some licensing agreement? They're not aware of this yet.
I think it's probably on their brain, but I don't think they really care. They make enough money.
Like, we make jokes about how we're not allowed to say some things.
Because, you know, they had, here in Chicago, they had this thing called the Real Live Brady Bunch for a while, mm-hmm. and then the producers of the Brady Bunch found out about it and were not too pleased. But I know in other cases where they do similar things, the producers love it because it calls attention to the original project.
I'm pretty sure that when Bob and Tobley were writing this, they were very aware of the potential troubles that they could get into.
That just gets you more attention in a way, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's scandalous.
Yeah. When Friends originally ran, you guys were very, very young. Did you watch it as little kids?
Yeah, it was on.
Did you?
Yeah.
It was on. I think our family was more of a Seinfeld kind of family.
I like Seinfeld.
I definitely love Seinfeld, so I kind of had to brush up.
When does the Seinfeld musical open? Are you going to be working on that?
I love
that.
Wing.
All right, how did you guys, what did you do that they saw you and went, yeah, these guys could be in Friends of the Musical? What did you do at the audition that won them over?
I think we made them laugh.
Oh, good.
The audition process was very, very long and very ruthless.
I had a different experience than Maggie.
Oh, yeah?
Did you have to dance in a Bruce Springsteen video?
No, that would have been great, though. I went in first for Rachel, and then they ended up calling me back in for Monica. But
was that disappointing to you? Because I'm telling you, each and every one of them had such a great role on that show.
Yeah. It was scary at first because she's such a different voice part than I am.
Oh, yeah.
So I was very scared. I was like, oh, God, I can't do that. So first I had this, I had an appointment. And I was like, okay, cool. There's going to be like maybe five other girls in the hallway. That's fine. I walk
How
in,
many?
And it was like a movie. The elevators opened, and there was like an infestation of girls and dresses.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all in the jewel
coat. I like had a panic attack. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. And it was, you could hear all of the girls auditioning.
As That's they were talking how,
I mean,
to one another.
It's New York City, so it's so small. So you could hear everyone auditioning. And every time a girl would come out, another girl would be like, you sounded great. And I was like, you.
Everyone was backing each other up.
No, she didn't.
What do you think you brought to it? What did you do that the other girls weren't able to do?
I think I...
Are you more neurotic than all the others? Because Monica was pretty crazy.
I have a lot of energy. And I think what I noticed with the other girls is they wanted to sound pretty.
Mm.
And I think I wanted to make them laugh more than sound pretty because they had been sitting there for hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how long were you there?
Over 300 girls auditioned, Jeez. The monitor said. So they were there all day and I was like, okay, I have to entertain these people.
Yeah. And you did. You obviously did. You got the job. Aaron, similar story for you. You said your story was different.
My story was a little different. Yeah. I came into the tour a little bit later. They started in October, and I just started with them in January. Oh. So,
do they talk to you at all or leave you alone? You're like an outsider to them.
No. We love each other very much. We spend a lot of time together. Good. Too much to not love each other. But, yeah. I also had an appointment, but my appointment was a lot smaller. There were maybe like 30 people in the holding room, boys and girls, so it was kind of like a mix who was going in for what at the time.
Right. Boys and girls, you're so cute. Men and women, you mean, right?
We're all kids.
Yeah,
I don't
we
know.
Don't feel like men
We're
and
actors.
Women.
We're children at heart. But the same team is also, they have an Office parody musical of The Office.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so that's running in New York right now. Yeah, and it's doing really well. And so my appointment
Question.
Was... Yeah, answer.
Toy Shrewd. Oh. I'm sorry, I'm just going off in my own head.
Right.
Can I just jump in and say, now this is playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, and what's the schedule like? I mean, is it just on weekends? What?
Oh, no. All days, it's 6 days a week. We don't perform Mondays, but...
Lazy.
Yeah. we gotta sleep. But then we do two show days on... This week we did it on Wednesday.
Wow.
So I believe Saturday is going to be our next two show day.
And they Sunday. Do a matinee on those days?
Yeah. And then next weekend... For March 2nd and March 3rd, we're going to have two show days on the 2nd and 3rd as well. So that's like a 2 and 7:30 or something like that.
It's a grueling schedule, isn't it?
Yeah, but we love each other enough that it's nice to be around each other
that
much.
Six people in the cast?
Eight, kind of.
Eight people in the cast?
We got two swings.
Which is like an understudy for all of the...
Plays Gunther.
Oh!
What about who, what was was it Marcel?
Marcel the monkey. I read for that. And they said they'd get back, and they never called me back.
Marcel is in there. I promise.
Really? My god!
Oh, he's definitely.
So, is this set around Central Perk? Them sitting around the coffee shop. Is it going to be other places too?
It's set in the two settings in the show: Monica's apartment and Central Perk.
How did they afford that apartment? Is that discussed at all?
Oh,
this
is it?
It is. So this is like a parody poke fun, but also
absolutely.
Kind of homage as well.
Yeah,
correct?
It's really heartfelt.
Yeah, we definitely, like, we will make fun of the actors themselves.
I hope Schwimmer's not in the audience.
Right,
because
he owns the Looking Glass, right? Or he founded it right next door. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, so it's like,
how about
hope
that?
He doesn't show up. But we don't make as much fun of him as maybe some of the others.
Well, I know you say your kid, you hope he doesn't show up, but that would be excellent.
Wouldn't it be
wouldn't
cool
it if he showed
my
up?
My mom is really convinced that Jennifer Aniston's going to come at some point.
Oh, maybe.
Actually, I kind of hope some of them don't come. Some of the things that we don't
if Matt
know,
Perry like, came and saw my performance of him, I would be so...
like, it would be like, yikes.
I'm so sorry.
All right, we'll discuss this further after a quick break. It's Friends the Musical. If people want to get tickets, what's their best bet?
BroadwayInChicago.com.
BroadwayInChicago.com is the way to play it. Stick around. More ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You can't help but dance. Maggie McNeese is here. She plays Monica in Friends, the musical parody. Aaron C. Rutherford, the C, of course, stands for Chandler.
Okay.
That's his role in Friends, the musical parody. So how would you characterize your portrayals? It's probably not so much, you're not doing an impression of those actors or their characters. It's your interpretation. Is that fair?
Kind of both. We kind of ride that line.
Yeah.
You know, it's a funny thing because, and I've said this a couple times now, it's not here, obviously, but we want to do an impression of the people to make the people laugh. We want to give them what they want with the characters.
Right.
So, like, there are certain quirks and stuff that we pick up. But we also want to play it truthfully, and we don't want to make fun of the characters, the actors, so much because people love them so much that we don't want to tick them off, you know?
Yeah.
So we want to kind of ride that line of poking fun without directly stealing or, you know,
So give me an example. Like, what's something you'd find in Chandler's character or Matthew Perry that you bring to the stage?
Well, Chandler will often... wait to finish a sentence. Yeah. And so that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with you, Maggie.
Monica will have her shoulders up to her ears. So I've like recently been like, oh my God, like my shoulders hurt so bad.
Yeah.
I'm usually kind of a sloucher. And I'm like, you know, just chill. But her shoulders are always up to here. She sticks her elbows out like this.
Yeah.
Just kind of accentuate how bony she is.
Yeah.
And I try to do some, what do you call those things? Those
push-ups?
Those arm workouts all the time. Because her arms are just ripped all the time.
Yeah, we
but
noticed
those
that.
Are just physical stuff.
We get super sore though too. Like just trying to like make our bodies like those people.
Oh,
sure,
like,
I bet.
And her voice can get like either it's very grounded like this, or it's just like yelling, like very, very high,
cartoony.
Like a little child.
That's so funny.
Right.
She also had a propensity to start out a sentence with the word hello. I noticed in a lot of episodes, hello, we've like been here since like 6 o'clock. There's a lot of that.
Do you do that in this show?
No.
I don't think that.
No.
I think
no.
It just inspired the talent.
No, maybe.
I should just
should
email the writer.
Yeah.
Listen.
But Chandler does a lot of the could I be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Times, right?
Yeah.
Which, I'm sorry, it's still funny. You'd think it would get old, but when I watch the reruns, I still find myself laughing on that show. 495 Grove Street, How Can We Afford This Place? I had mentioned that, and so that's one of the songs. Does Joey have a song?
Oh Joey has a few songs. His big one is How You Doing, right?
How you doing, right? he is Joey.
Oh my gosh, in real life too.
He walked in
really?
He would laugh.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Perfect for the part.
Yeah.
Very Italian. He's
oh, that's excellent.
All about food.
That's excellent. I always said that for our generation, the Dick Van Dyke Show and the Andy Griffith Show were the shows that you could watch 100 times in a row and just love it every time.
Mm-hmm.
For the next generation, for your generation, it's probably Friends and Seinfeld, right? Would those be the two?
And Parks and Rec.
And Parks and Rec,
yeah.
The Office.
The Office is so...
Friends is great, though, because it's so multi-generational. Yeah. You know, like, the 90s were such a weird time where, like, the last generation was kind of fading out as our generation was fading in. So, like, everybody comes, you know, and loves that show, you know? It's a weird thing.
It's very timeless.
It's hard to believe Jennifer Aniston turned 50 earlier this week. That doesn't make sense in my head because they're
locked in Instagram, but
right, but they're all locked in their late 20s in my head. They're not 50.
Yeah,
I was just having this conversation the other day where it's like, for us, because we look at them and we were so young when that show was coming out, and I always think of them as being so much older than me.
Yeah,
and so now I go back and I watch that. I'm like, oh, they're
like, your age, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Friends character? Maybe not necessarily the ones you are portraying.
Phoebe.
Really?
I love Ross.
Really?
Everyone thinks he's so annoying. Well, I just think that David Schwimmer is the most talented person on that show.
He did a great job with that character.
So he brought mopery to a new level.
Right.
Mopery always existed.
He's always on.
Yeah.
Like, even like in the later seasons when they're making $1 million an episode and they're just like out. He's so on all the time.
And yeah.
I think that's incredible for 10 seasons for someone to just be so committed.
Sure.
To it says the a character.
Lot. Is Smelly Cat featured in here at all?
Kinda.
We kind of like wink at the audience, but we're like,
copyright.
Oh, that's the problem.
Oh yeah.
You know what else is cool about the show that you forget until you tune it in again is that on an almost weekly basis, they had a who's who of Hollywood guest starring on Friends. Mm-hmm. Some of them not famous when they did, but then became famous later. But a bunch of them, I mean, there's so many Academy Award nominees and winners that guest starred on Friends.
And like, Chrissy Hynde for Smelly Cat. Right. They sang together.
I was watching an episode the other day, and it was Robin Williams, and I was like, I don't remember
he
this.
He did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Gary Oldman, like George Clooney, Reese Witherspoon.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah, Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
Was Reese Witherspoon Monica's... Rachel's sister on a few episodes.
So. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
She was obviously
incredible.
Famous.
Episode. What's your family think of this? Have your families gone and seen the show?
My family just saw it all last week. What did they think? Detroit. I'm a Michigan baby. Yeah. And they loved it. They thought it was so funny. They were very proud of me, but they had a lot of fun. My mom apparently was like a big Friends fan, and I did not know.
You didn't
that.
Know?
Yeah. I guess I just grew up with it on as ambient noise because it was always on, apparently. So she really had a lot of fun.
Any tips from your mom on how to play the character better? Parents like to do that when they see
the TV usually
show.
Does, too.
Yeah.
She's usually a little bit critical, but this time she was like, that was great.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Has your family seen it, Maggie, or not?
Yes, they came to see it. I was very nervous because it can be a little raunchy.
We kind of
go there sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm from a little town called Sugar Land, Texas, which is outside of Houston. We went to church every Sunday.
Oh.
So I was a little nervous.
Do you say prayers with that mouth? Is that what they would say to you?
Yeah. So I was a little nervous for my conservative father to be sitting in the audience and me, you know, like singing and talking about things.
That's got to be weird.
It was totally weird.
When you say it gets out there a little bit, are kids allowed to see it? Are they invited to see it? Or would you hold back if you had a kid who wanted to see it?
They're allowed.
I would get a babysitter.
I mean, depending on the age, you know. I think that a kid who's about 14 probably could handle most of it, but it is raunchy. And I guess bring your kid if you want to bring your kid. Like, it's your own parenting style. But
yeah.
Just know that if you bring your child...
It's
we will tense up.
We will see your child, and we will be nervous.
That's fair warning. That's very fair.
Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. The best website to send people to, BroadwayInChicago.com, perhaps?
Yes.
And it's playing currently through, when does it close?
March 3rd, we leave.
And then go to where? What happens on March?
Tennessee after.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
In Florida.
And Kentucky in the middle. Louisville, Kentucky.
Does some stuff work in some cities and for some reason not in the others, or is this...
Yes.
It does, doesn't it, right? Yeah. Every show has that element for some reason.
Yeah.
There's one joke that we have that I don't want to spoil that I've found has gotten bigger laughs other places than in Chicago. It still gets a big laugh, but...
But not in Chicago?
Yeah, it's less of a show-stopping laugh here than it has been
in
other places.
I wonder why. Have you tried to figure out why?
I think it just might be the mindset of people here. I think it might be a joke that's more expected here. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah.
I have to go see it now because I'm dying to know what the joke is.
Does it have to do with a sports team disappointing its fan base?
No.
We don't think that's funny here.
Oh, my goodness.
I think I know which one you're talking about. It always gets
Oh, which one are you talking about?
Never.
No,
there are lots
say.
Of jokes. They just go, ooh.
Oh, really?
Oh, that one, too. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I want that. Friends, the musical parody, playing now through March the 3rd, mm-hmm. right? And to get tickets, it's BroadwayInChicago.com. That's the way to do it,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Guys, good luck with the rest of the show. It was
Thank
great
you.
Meeting both of you.
Nice to meet
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thanks
Break
so much.
A leg.
Thank you.
Quick break, some news, more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry? If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
Oops, I caught you mid cough. Sorry about that. You never know when someone's
never know.
Gonna make you lie.
Dean's having a physical right now.
Is that why he can't be with us?
Yeah. Dean is in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, your hands are so cold, doctor.
Careful. Be careful, Dean.
Wouldn't you die if you turned around and Bill was your doctor?
Yeah.
That'd be awful. You're sitting there in your gown and Bill walks into the room with
oh my
stethoscope
God.
Around his neck.
With a clipboard wow. and a chart. I just look at, oh, Mr. Richards, things don't look good for you, I would say.
You'd also yeah, have a Super
sure,
Bowl.
Yep. They sure don't if you're my doctor.
No, things are horrible if I'm your doctor. Dean, we received some very sad news an hour ago.
Yeah.
The death of one of the monkeys, Peter Tork. How
yeah,
sad.
I'm very sad, too. I didn't realize he was the oldest of all of the monkeys. He was 77 years old, but when the monkey started, when he was 24 years old, he was the oldest of the four of them, and I don't know, he was my favorite monkey.
Was he really?
I had a crush yeah. on him.
You had a crush on him?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked him because he was so goofy.
Yes.
Like, he was the sort of naturally funny monkey, and, you know, just kind of, you know, went off in his own ways, and then as the group went on and he was doing solo music, it was the weirdest and, you know, most out there. And I loved his creativity.
Isn't it strange how when they put the monkeys together, their formula was, we'll get two guys that are really musicians, Peter Tork and Mike Nesmith, and two guys that are actors, Mickey and Davey, and we'll see what happens. And then when they started doing music, they were really pretty good. You know, that was a shock.
Right. Right. I remember, I interviewed Peter Tork one time, and I remember him telling me a story of when they first started. You know, he was so excited because he was a musician, and the producers of the TV show didn't really want any part of that. They had their own songwriters
yeah.
and their musicians. They just wanted the guys that were going to run around and bump into each other and, you know, do stupid stuff, you know, and try to copy and kind of spoof what the Beatles were doing back then.
By the way, same formula for 60 Minutes. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. When Mike Wallace and Dan Rather back in the day.
Yep. Just bumping
know,
into
to,
each other.
To run around like that, right? With like Benny Hill music
yeah.
playing. That was my favorite part.
Crazy.
And Peter was a banjo player, a keyboardist, a guitarist, a bass player.
True musician. Yeah.
And Nesmith
very
is...
very accomplished.
Yeah. Mike Nesmith is cranky. I saw him in Nashville for all the people that played at the... studios there, and he led the group that was Al Cooper was on keyboards, Charlie Daniels flew in for one song, and Mike Nesmith like sang to it with his back to the audience.
Oh.
He was great, but he just was not working the crowd that was there and loving him.
Strange.
A little cranky.
Very strange. So
that's very, very strange. He was always sort of the moody one, and when all of them were alive, you know, and they were proposing, you know, monkeys reunions, it was always Mike Nesmith who didn't want any part of it.
Right.
The holdout, yeah.
In later years, he would join them. After Davey died, he would join them occasionally on stage. But, you know, sad. It's, you know, part of our childhood, part of our, you know, sort of the soundtrack of our youth, you know, that's going. So
yeah.
it's kind of sad.
Very, very sad. All right. Earlier today, a press conference here in Chicago, Dean. I know you're in Los Angeles, but I'm sure you caught wind of what went on.
I watched the whole thing. It was was rather remarkable. The whole thing was rather remarkable. You know, usually at talking about the Jussie Smollett press conference that Superintendent Eddie Johnson held earlier this morning, where usually they really don't give very many facts and they don't editorialize on the case, and you know, they just give as few details as possible. Eddie Johnson was really quite passionate.
He was great
about what all of this meant to the city, what all of this meant to him as an African American man, I thought he was great in, you know, kind of summing up what this whole thing was and how, you know, disgusting this whole lie has been. You know, now that we have the facts and now that we have the official reports of, you know, what they believe to have happened, it's disgusting. It's disgusting that it happened, that somebody did this for attention, for to try to get more money from his employers, various reasons that were given. But, you know, the ultimate effect, and as Eddie Johnson said, moving forward, what effect this has on other people who will become victims of hate crimes in the future. You know, will we believe people when they come forward now and, you know, they say that they have been victims of hate crimes like this? It diminishes and trivializes, you know, things that may happen in the future on lots of different levels. So the whole thing is so stupid and ridiculous. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, if he pleads guilty, if he goes to trial, you know, what's going to happen with it all.
And everything he wanted out of this, he's going to get the exact opposite, you know?
Probably. You know, certainly in the short term. I wonder if, though, in the long run, and I hope this doesn't happen, but certainly, you know, already somebody is figuring out how are they going to get the first interview with Jussie Smollett.
Sure.
After the fact, you know, if he goes to jail, when he gets out of jail, what's going to happen later on? How does this profile him in the future once he pays his debt financially or otherwise for this whole thing? Where does this place him? Because, you know, we do live in this world where, you know, the sort of reality show world now, you know, that, you know, where these kind of things where criminals become celebrities. And, you know, it's just such an odd, it's just an odd world that we're living in now.
Robin Roberts should get the first interview, I feel.
A make good.
Yeah, and yeah. The one word that keeps popping up into my head after listening to Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson and this whole thing is shameful. It's a shame.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, just the whole thing is shameful, regrettable. It's not what the world needs.
Nope.
This is not.
We need
in
love,
any way
sweet love, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Apparently, he'd never heard that song.
That would have changed the course of history.
The words of Jackie DeShannon.
Yes. Yes. If you're the producers of Empire, and I know they haven't decided quite what to do yet, but what is your guess? Do you replace him? Do you suspend him? Do you fire him? What's your move?
There are reports that they are considering suspending him right now. I think they're kind of holding their cards close to their vest on this because, you know, this could be, if they don't just out and out fire him, which is what I would do if I was the producer of the show.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody like that working on my staff. But, you know, they, you know, is it a huge rating bonanza for them if, you know, he pays his debt, eventually comes back to the show? I don't know.
I don't know
if it helps or hurts the show at some point. You know, if he is, depending on what happens, if he pleads guilty or goes to trial and is found guilty, I don't know. I don't know how you leave him on your staff. I don't know how you
too much of a distraction
with somebody who has done something so horrible, not only to, you know, himself but to others, and really to society in a way. You know what this does for. You know, I think about other people who are victims of hate crimes and the very things that he alleged to happen to him, people who are legitimately beaten up because of the color of their skin or their sexual orientation or their religion or any of those things. It's a huge slap in the face to all of those people. And I wouldn't want them a part of any of my projects at all.
Dean, let me run this past you really quickly. I mentioned this earlier. Don't you think that some TV drama, maybe Chicago PD, maybe SVU, someone's going to do a version of this very, very soon on their TV show, do you think?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. And, you know, how ironic that if it does become one of the Chicago Fire or PD or even maybe even Empire, maybe is, you know, something like that happens to his character on Empire.
And they hire one of the brothers to play him. Wouldn't that be the icing on the cake?
Well, that's another thing. And I know the brothers, you know, cooperated with the police to save their own butts. but they cooperated with the police. Are they completely off the hook? They were going to cooperate in this also.
That's what I asked.
Yeah,
you know, that's they were part of this also. I mean,
they accepted money.
The police very wisely used that to help get information to solve this case. But they took the money. They went along with it as well. Seems like they're implicated. And will somebody get them some shirts?
Oh, it's okay. I like looking at them. Can I? A texter just came up with something which I didn't think of. You know, it was revealed during the press conference today that racist and homophobic message, that letter he wrote himself, those are federal. That's federal charges. So that could change the things as well.
That makes it even more complicated.
Yeah.
And Eddie Johnson said that can't comment on federal investigations that are going on, but using the postal system to perpetrate what he did is a federal crime.
Yeah.
So he's in deep.
Yeah.
He's in pretty deep with all of this.
What a crazy
all
story!
All of this on Oscar weekend.
On Oscar weekend.
Thanks for spoiling our Oscar weekend. Jussie.
Luckily, there's no host at the Academy Awards to make light of this, Dean, or who knows what hell would break out.
Jussie Smollett will now be the new host.
Is that true, Wendy?
Yes.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. With the two brothers as presenters?
The two brothers.
You know,
I feel bad.
I am here in Beverly Hills, about a mile away from where the Oscars are going to take place right now, because I'm out here. I saw the new Captain Marvel movie last night that I'll be telling you about in a couple of weeks, and I'll be interviewing Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson and some of the stars of the movie today. But I'm about a mile away from where the Oscars are going to take place, so I'm starting rumors like crazy of what's going to go on. Who knew that a guy on a unicycle and some dancing poodles are going to open the Oscars?
Is that how they're opening it? I love that. The guys from the Bozo special?
I saw all your posts and I appreciate it, but the producers of the Oscars saw our Bozo special and so they got those two brothers on unicycle and the dancing poodles to open the Oscars show. It's going to be a little different. That's the first time that's ever happened.
That's excellent.
Dean, David Jennings has a question for you.
Two things, Dean.
Hi, David.
Hey, what's up, Ma? How are you?
Good.
Okay, two quick things. One, who represents Jussie Smollett now, right now? And the second thing is, who's going to be representing him after he goes to bond court today?
Well, it's my understanding that the attorney who represented Michael
Jackson... not his attorney. I mean his agent.
Oh, his agent.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Who would want to touch him after this?
Yeah, good question, David.
I've heard rumblings that it may be a relative of the current mayor... That his agent?
Oh.
I don't know for sure. You tell me. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't have any facts on this. I would only be guessing about that. But
Emanuel's brother Ari. For people who don't know, Ari Emanuel is a top talent wrangler there in Hollywood.
Right, and works well. Is the head of one of the biggest talent agencies in the world.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible that his company may wind up representing him after all of this takes place. Really, nobody knows at this point. This is going to be like a day at a time kind of situation with Jussie Smollett and how it all shakes out and falls out.
Yep, we got to take a quick break. Dean, stay where you are. More ahead. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dean Richards on WGN.
I'll stop the world and I'll melt with Dean. That's what I will do.
You changed the lyrics, Wendy. Dean Richards is here. All right, Dean, really, really quickly, because we have a couple movies that we want you to review. The Bozo special, please tell me you were pleased with the outcome, because it really was fun to watch.
Oh, we were extremely happy with the way that it turned out. We're happy that we're able to, do a couple of more hours of, the very little footage that exists of the Bozo show. Masterful job was done on the digital remastering of it all. It looked terrific, and it's just so fun to see. I mean, there's tons of nostalgia, brings back lots of memories, all that, but to me, so interesting to see how children's television was back in the day. And how it was kind of slower paced. Things didn't move at such a lightning speed the way children's programming does now. And I've heard from so many people, I heard from a lot of older kids like Little Billy and Little Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you know,
it.
And how much I know how much you guys enjoyed it. I've been hearing you guys talk about it, but people who said that they watched with their kids and their grandkids and how mesmerized their kids were with watching this, you know, this old fashioned television. You know, and watching the grand prize game and the clowns goofing around and like really doing like basic old vaudeville
yep.
routines, but you know, the kids have never seen anything like that before, and we've gotten so many emails from people saying how much their kids enjoyed the show. So you know, that was very gratifying.
You did a great job on it, and you always forget there was always little inside jokes that the clowns would pull off for the adults. You know, that they flew right over the kids' heads. That was so much fun to watch.
It's part of the charm of that show, especially yeah. the great Bob Bell as Bozo.
He was so good.
Who was just the master of double entendre.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
He was great. And the simplicity of Don Sandberg as Sandy the Tramp, which, you know, really, if you think about it, in this PC world in which we live, let's take somebody who is homeless and turn him into a silent clown.
Sure.
On the show. But he was hilarious, a master of pantomime.
Yeah.
You know, and Ray Rayner is Oliver and Ringmaster Ned and that band. I was just completely blown away of how much dimension that 13-piece Bozo Big Top Band added to the show, something that doesn't happen anymore,
no.
You know, except on, you know, huge big shows like the Oscars.
Right.
Normally everything is recorded in the synthesizer, and it was just, it was a different time, and I'm glad that there was a little bit of it preserved. I wish that there was more. But, you know, it was, you know, just really so fun to put it out there.
And important to point out, for people who didn't get to see it, it will be rerun this upcoming Sunday at noon on Channel 9. You got another
right.
chance.
It's going to rerun it Sunday, right. 12 noon.
Let's
WGN-TV. It'll be streaming live if you have family or friends in other parts of the country, WGNTV.com/live, or you can also watch it on the WGN-TV app as well.
Excellent. Let's talk about this week's movies, and we'll start out with the inappropriately named How to Drain Your Dragon. What do we need to know about it, Dean?
I believe that would be, you may have gotten a typo on that.
What does it say?
I believe it's called How to Train Your Dragon.
How to Train Your Dragon. I apologize.
Shame on
you.
Right.
How to Drain Your Dragon is a completely different franchise.
Sorry about that. I misread.
But this is the... This is the third.
Somewhere Bob Bell is smiling.
Bob Bell just said, good job, Bill. Nicely
yep.
done.
Yep.
Nicely done. Yeah, this is the third in the franchise. There's, you know, the humans and the dragons are living in the same world, coexisting beautifully, until an evildoer comes along and wants to kill all the dragons.
Oh, I hate evildoers.
So they have to find a new place for the dragons to live, and they find this hidden world, thus the title, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. They find this beautiful world where only dragons live, where dragons can live by themselves in peace and in harmony without the humans. They don't need the humans.
Nope.
So it's a, you know, it's a movie about the evildoer who's trying to kill them. It's a story about the humans who are getting along with the dragons, maybe separating from their friends and releasing them to live in their, you know, a world by themselves. It's very sweet. It's really fun. It's at times very funny. They, I think, have done another great job in this movie. I happen to like this franchise a lot, and I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Good news there. And Dean, we only have a minute, but tell us about Fighting With My Family. Is that worth seeing?
Fighting With My Family is worth seeing. It's a British comedy. It's a British family comedy about a family very into wrestling. The primary character is the young daughter in the movie who wants to be in the WWE and gets the opportunity and works with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who plays himself in this movie, to see if she's got the right stuff to do it. But it's a very dysfunctional family comedy, first and foremost, with Stephen Merchant and Nick Frost, among others, in this movie, who I'm a huge fan of. Both of them. I love this movie. It's really smart. Dean's List B+ on this one also.
Excellent. Dean, great talking to you. Enjoy your stay there in Los Angeles and enjoy the Academy Awards on Sunday.
Okay, guys. Have a great weekend.
Take care.
Thanks,
it's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next.
And the stories that matter with David Jennings from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.